welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly Nerd Perk podcast where we can help you do everything nerdy that comics, television, and news. Tell you all and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you have not watched the latest greatest of news and or television podcast, go watch it and join us again for the fun! Explicit content warning, we may be cussing, we'll try not to, but you never know. We're gonna ride the beat now.
I think you went too fast.
Maybe. I think you just like restarted the beat again. I don't know.
I don't have that capability from here.
I don't believe you, dude. But whatever. Let's get into it. How are you doing this week?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty, awesome. We took a week off of the podcast last week. I wasn't feeling up to it. I wasn't there.
A lot of life things going on and such, so.
Yeah, a lot of life things. Me and Christian looking for a new house. Pretty exciting. I pretty much officially started my new position at work. Pretty exciting. I did some, supervisory things. I actually gave somebody, the orientation speech and stuff like that. Like, I told them about the HIPAA policies and sexual misconduct and stuff like that, and had to use the words like genitals and stuff. And it made me very uncomfortable, but I did it.
You didn't enjoy using those words?
No, not when you're giving it to like an older female.
You were giving it to her?
No, shut the fuck up. I didn't last long. What's going on with you, Christian?
Not much.
Sick. All right.
hurt my neck yesterday.
How'd that happen?
I was playing soccer by myself.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
You already know the story.
Oh, do I?
So I'll tell the listeners. Hi, listeners listening and such. So I went to the park by my work at lunch, and I was like, I'm just going to walk around. It's going to be a good old time. And I was like, nah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play soccer because there's soccer goals here. So I'm playing soccer, and I try to curl the ball into the top corner, and it works very successfully. But when I kick the ball, I fall flat on my butt, and then I hit my head against the ground really hard. My neck hurts. And at the same time, the button on my shorts popped, and I lost my sunglasses.
So for our gamer nerds, little update on my Overwatch adventures. I'm still stuck in Elio Hell in Gold Rank. Nothing's changed. My teammates are trash. Christian can attest to this. I'm not just complaining. I am, but you know what I mean? It's a hard life on Overwatch, okay, guys? I haven't really been playing any other video games. Just Overwatch, FIFA here and there, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? Nothing really has been going on. I mean, just work.
Work, life.
Work.
So.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anywho, I think we got news to talk about, right?
We do. Right. Yes, we have news to talk about. Yes. But because we haven't said it yet on the podcast, we're live on Facebook and YouTube. So.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Go follow us on our YouTube page. And our Facebook page, and our Instagram page, and our Twitter page.
Yeah, because next week, it'll probably be Periscope and Facebook, so you don't want to miss that.
You never know what the Nerdy Boys are going to be doing here and stuff. So, another update, though, with us trying to find a house, not like an apartment, we're actually trying to find a house, so we can actually like potentially build ourselves our own studio and stuff. And then when that happens, we're going to like look into like, you know, maybe better like a camera setup, so our live streams could be a little bit, you know, better.
A little fancier.
A little bit fancier kind of thing. That's pretty exciting. I'm pretty excited for that. I don't know. Are you pretty excited for that? I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to be broke.
Yeah, I love being broke.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we're going to get into some news.
Sick.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios. Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Aw, sick one, dude.
Sick one, dude.
Thanks. First bit of news. Let me scroll down a little bit here. Boys. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, dude, good one. Oh, thanks, dude. You suck at this.
Yeah, so I scrolled to, like, the next page or something. All right. Well, I'm just going to read from the top here. Zazie Beetz is cast as Domino in Deadpool 2.
What?
Series star and producer Ryan Reynolds has taken to Twitter to dispel a rumor and make an announcement of his own by revealing that Zazie Beetz from Atlanta has joined the cast of Deadpool 2 as Domino. Domino's mutant ability allows her to manipulate probability in her favor, making her a lethal mercenary just like Wade Wilson. Deadpool 2 will also introduce Cable, the time-traveling son of the X-Men's Cyclops. The character has one of the comic book medium's more complicated origin stories, so it remains to be seen what will go into the backstory of the big screen Cable. The role is currently being cast, and while rumors have been quite prevalent, an actor has not yet been selected for the role. Even as Deadpool 2 heads towards production, plans are said to already be underway on a third Deadpool film that will flesh out the full X-Force team.
Well, that's exciting, right? Am I right?
Yeah, everything else here, you know, we've already talked about before. So
I mean, what do you think, Domino, dude?
Yeah,
Domino?
I haven't seen any of the girls acting. I know there has been some outrage by Yo, my main man, back to the grind, LOL. Thanks, Jeff.
Back to the grind.
Yeah.
Get that money, son.
Wait, are you working today?
Dollar bill.
Or did
bill.
You have today off? I think you had today off, didn't you? I think Jeff had today off.
Well, if you're at work, sucks for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I was saying, there's been some outrage from certain fans because Domino apparently needed to not be a black actress.
I don't care, dude.
Yeah,
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm colorblind anyway, brother.
Well, and Domino's like, half her face is fucking metal or something. Like,
yeah, dude.
Like, Domino has like face paint and stuff.
Who
it doesn't
cares?
Matter at all.
Let's not talk about that because it only adds fuel to the fire, man. If you don't talk about something, it's not an issue. It's just not an issue anymore. If people stop talking about why black actresses or actors are being cast in a white character role, it is no longer an issue. I'm serious. Like,
for some things, that's true.
No, it's not. Okay, I'm not obviously not talking about everything in life. I'm talking about this specifically. Like, it's only an issue because everybody won't stop talking about it. Like, what does it matter? If the actor is good, who cares?
Right. Right.
End of story. Funny thing is, okay, yes, the movie sucked out loud, right? Fantastic Four. But how good was Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm? It was absurd. Like,
people make big deals about little things. So
let's get past, you know, anytime people are talking about this, I'm like, dude, I don't care. I'm colorblind anyways. That's all you got to say. End of story. Drop the mic. Moving on. Simon Kinberg teases an R-rated
Decibel.
Decibel. Oh, okay. I don't even know. Fucking decibel, like fucking numbers and shit. What are you talking about, decibel? I don't know. For the X-Force movie. With James Mangold's Logan now doing a massive business in the box office, 20th Century Fox has their second major R-rated Marvel hit. Speaking to Deadline, producer Simon Kinberg teases that the studio's upcoming X-slated suggests that the forthcoming X-Force movie is likely to follow suit. The X-Force movie is a combination of Deadpool and Cable. He tells the outlet they're like the Black Ops of the X-Men. They're much darker and have an R-rated decibel. There are X-Men characters coming into X-Force at different times in the comics, but it is separate from X-Men. While Kinberg stresses that not every upcoming X-Men film will or should have an R-rated rating, there are some, such as the upcoming Deadpool sequel, where R rating seems like the prerequisite to tell the story. Should a story be readily told in PG-13 fashion, it should be for creative, not business reasons, he says. The success of Deadpool and Logan have bolstered our confidence in making edgy, more daring, provocative, bold movies that the audience will embrace. More than that, we feel a responsibility to make bold and provocative movies. There is a larger architecture that to tell these stories in, Kinberg continues. I talk to the studios all the time about this, and there is a plan for how these movies can connect and be a part of a larger narrative. there's something it's something that's fun, exciting, and will be interesting to see how many how we marry the different tones that we've been generating in the standalone movies of the X-Men universe. But we make it, god damn it, dude, why did you give me the fucking one with the longest quote?
I'm
dude,
sorry.
Jesus fucking Christ, I had to fucking read for 5 hours to somebody yesterday.
You're the one.
I want to fucking do this right now.
You're the one who wants to read. Like, you usually.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah, dude. Tell me more.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Anyway, what he said about the whole business thing is
a lie.
Because, like, let's be honest, the reason they're making R-rated movies now is because of the success of Deadpool.
Duh. Was that a question before?
No, but he's saying, oh, we're not doing it for business reasons.
You're a liar.
I think we covered that.
Yeah. I was just, you know, reiterating what you were saying.
All right, well.
Dude.
Michael Rosenbaum.
What?
And Sylvester Stallone have very important roles in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Sorry, guys. I'm very obnoxious and stuff.
So we're just about a month and a half away from the release of James Gunn's hugely anticipated Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and it turns out that there's at least one cast member that was never announced. Gunn revealed on the Adam Carolla Show that Michael Rosenbaum has a mystery role in the sequel and that his character is in some way connected to the mystery role that Sylvester Stallone has long said to be playing. James Gunn says, we do have a couple of characters who are very important to the Marvel Universe who are going to make their debut in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which people don't know about. The Belko experiment... What?
Belko,
no.
Experience.
That's James Gunn's new film, so he said this while promoting that film. Sylvester Stallone plays one of these characters. My friend Michael Rosenbaum also has a pretty decent role in the movie as well, and it sort of works in tandem with Sly's character.
Wicked!
Michael Rosenbaum is primarily known to comic book fans for his work with The Distinguished Competition. He played Lex Luthor on the CW's hit series Smallville, and has voiced The Flash in various Justice League animated projects. Of course, James Gunn fans may know Michael Rosenbaum best for playing Peanuts Charlie Brown in two episodes of Gunn's old web series PG Porn. You can check out Rosenbaum's first appearance as the blockhead in The Player at the bottom of the page on Superhero Hype, where this article is, which we'll post a link. While PG Porn does not contain any nudity, it does feature quite a bit of gore, and viewer discretion is advised.
Sick, dude. Kevin Feige talks lack of Jane Foster in Thor Ragnarok. Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige has revealed that the anticlimactic news that Thor and Jane Foster simply broke up off-screen between Thor the Dark World and upcoming Thor Ragnarok. We wanted Thor to encounter somebody that was near his equal and that his relationship with Jane may have evolved in an unexpected way in between the Dark World and Ragnarok, and we wanted to pit him against the character who was much more his equal and in many ways his superior, Feige tells EW. Valkyrie is trying not to embrace any sort of Asgardian heritage that she has. Thor thinks maybe that it will create a bond between them, and on the contrary, she wants to forget it all entirely.
Yes. So, I think the real reason Jane Foster is not going to be in this movie is because of how poorly she's been written in past films.
Watch your mouth.
Look, I like Natalie Portman, but Jane Foster, the way that her character was written is pretty poor. Like, she's like this massive scientific genius, but when she's around Thor, she's just like, oh my God. She has no agency whatsoever. Okay.
So who cares? Right? She's a good character. You can go fuck yourself.
She's a good character
she's a good
poor,
character, bro.
Very poor. Very poor.
That's your opinion, bro. I fucking love her, dude. I want her back.
Nobody loves Jane Foster as much as me.
Oh, calm down, Donald Trump. Go build a wall. Build a wall between us and go fuck yourself on the other side.
So more Thor news.
Oh yeah, dude,
the
can't wait to not hear about
full
Natalie Portman.
Thor Ragnarok plot has been revealed.
It's gonna be so good.
A brief description was previously revealed by Marvel Studios, EW now has a proper breakdown of the full Thor Ragnarok plot, which picks up from the end of the Avengers Age of Ultron. In the film, Thor will arrive in Asgard after hearing about trouble in his home world, and when he arrives, he finds Loki's style of ruling while impersonating Odin has led to some lapses in the rules and leads to the freeing of prisoner Hela. Thor and Hela naturally come to blows, oh, but they do, when they meet, which sees Thor blasted to Sakaar, described as a barbaric planet ruled by the charming but nefarious Grand Master, played by Jeff Goldblum. There, he meets Valkyrie, who is hiding out on the planet, and brings him to the Grand Master to make him a gladiator, where he meets the most popular competitor in the arena, the Hulk, and loses his trademark hair and hammer, which is greatly unfortunate because he looks great with long hair. Mark Ruffalo said of the Hulk, he's much more of a character than the Green Rage Machine you've seen in the Avengers movies. He's got a swagger. He's like a god.
Nice.
After the two Avengers reunite, the film turns into a road trip. EW reports director Taika Waititi took inspiration from movies like 48 Hours with Nail and I and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Along the way, Benedict Cumberbatch's Stephen Strange will make an appearance, and the film will lay the groundwork for the upcoming Avengers Infinity War. Waititi did note to the outlet, however, that Ragnarok isn't just a setup movie, but it reinvents the Thor franchise. He said a lot of what we're doing with the film is, in a way, kind of dismantling and destroying the old idea and rebuilding it in a new way that's fresh. Everyone's got a slightly new take on the character, so in that way, it feels like this is the first Thor.
You having fun?
Did it sound like I was having fun?
I don't know. I can't tell.
Was it fun for the viewers?
Maybe.
Viewers?
So what'd you think about that plot and stuff? Do you think it's going to be a good movie?
I think it'll be the best of the Thor films.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because it doesn't have Natalie Portman in it.
No. These are the discussion of the
You're
Thor
a
films are discussions for other times, okay?
Sexist pig.
No, it's sexist to have such
a
brilliant
more.
Woman with agency
tell
who just
more.
Falls apart in front of a beautiful man. That is sexist.
But it happens in real life.
No. Smart women don't all of a sudden become unintelligible in front of attractive men.
Yeah, dude, tell me more. How would you know?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can differentiate between films and real life.
No, you can't.
It's your turn.
What? About what? For what?
To read.
Oh, okay.
You want me to read this one? I think it's pretty long.
No, I got it, dude. Don't fucking worry about it, all right? Sony Pictures has just dated a Venom movie. Well, that's awkward. Why would they date?
I don't know, man. Maybe Venom was lonely eating ice cream. And, it was in a sad state, so they dated it for a while and then broke its heart.
And then they put just the tip just to see how it felt?
Just the tip.
Okay, good to know. All right, anyway, Sony Pictures has just dated a Venom film for October 5th, 2018. First appearing in the comic book series as an alien costume worn by Spider-Man in Marvel's Amazing Spider-Man number 252 in 1984. It was several years before the creature left Peter Parker and merged with the photographer Eddie Brock, forming the anti-hero known as Venom. Since then, the character has appeared in a variety of different forms and bonded with several different hosts in the Ultimate Universe, the Marvel Universe. The suit had more of a terrestrial origin, created by Parker and Brock's scientific parents in an attempt to cure cancer. More recently, the Venom symbiote has been moving between hosts, including Mac Gargan, aka the Scorpion, and Peter Parker's old high school rival, Flash Thompson. Venom previously appeared on the big screen, played by Topher Grace in Sam Raimi's. We don't speak of that movie, so I won't even say it. Rumors have persisted about a solo Venom movie, but various iterations of the project have failed to materialize. It was last reported that Venom movie was being planned, but it would not likely tie to the Sony Marvel's the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
I can't even read anymore, dude.
I think it's a mistake if they don't tie it into the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, what's the point of making a Venom film?
So do you think that they would make, like, Flash Thompson the host then?
No, I think they'd start with Eddie Brock. I mean,
with Eddie Brock,
or they'd have to do the new guy that's in comic books right now.
And Eddie Brock, Eddie Brock in high school, dude.
Eddie Brock didn't go to high school with him. Flash Thompson did.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, no, I mean, like,
do you even listen to me, Christian? Like, while we talk on this podcast, do you honestly?
I thought you were talking about if they kept it separate. Okay, anyway.
All right. Let me rephrase this. What do you think about if they made in, you know, the current Spider-Man continuity of the MCU,
okay,
if they made a tie-in and it was Flash Thompson?
Okay. That works.
You're okay with that? There's nobody else that you'd rather have?
I mean, I still would rather have Eddie Brock start with Venom, and then, you know, you can move to Anti-Venom from there, and, you know, you open up more stories. I'd rather have Carnage than Venom.
You give me cancer. Do you know this?
Why?
You're so cancerous.
You asked what I would prefer.
I thought you were like... I thought you would say something like logical, not fucking Eddie Brock.
Eddie Brock is logical.
Oh yeah, because you doesn't meet him in high school, dude.
They change everything about comic books and movies.
Oh yeah, let's just fucking ruin all of our dreams, huh?
I think they would do it. They could do it in a variety of different ways that would work.
Got them Marvel blinders on, boy. Can't see, can you?
No, see, the ideal way people would want it if it was Marvel blinders is, well, you gotta do this, right? You gotta have Peter Parker working out the Daily Planet Prophet, fucking Daily Bugle. and then you know,
you've been discredited. This conversation.
You gotta have him working with Eddie Brock and their rivalry.
We're done here. Let's move on.
Here's what
you
I'm
lost
saying.
Lost all
no,
credibility.
I'm going to talk
you
about
misnamed where he works not once and fucking twice, dude.
Okay, well,
serious?
The Venom symbiote currently in comic books is in this new guy.
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah, and the new guy's like an ex-convict, and he's trying to like make his life better, and then he gets the symbiote suit, and he's like, Venom, you're not controlling my mind. I'm controlling you. I'm going to make you murder a bunch of motherfuckers. Because Venom's trying to be a good person or a good symbiote, a good alien host now. So, okay. But, you know, this guy's just like, not in my body, boy.
Oh, I think that could be, like, good later on.
Yeah.
But I think they should start with Flash Thompson.
They need to tie it. They need to tie it in to the Spider-Man franchise.
They need to start with Flash Thompson. Because it makes the most sense, right?
Flash Thompson is Agent Venom. He's not Venom. They're different.
Dude.
Mac Gargan is actual
Gargan.
Venom.
What kind of last name is Gargan, dude?
Ask the damn scorpion, okay?
Where do you hail from? Fucking Egypt or something? I don't know where Gargan comes from. Gargan. Where do you think Gargan comes from? Can we look this up?
I'm sure you can. You can go to Ancestry.com. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
All right, let's move on.
Wait, it's my turn, right?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, James Gunn confirms Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will happen.
Oh, dude, tell me more.
Shocking. Director James Gunn has confirmed in a new interview with Marvel Studios that there will be a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. He said, there will be a Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That's for sure. We're trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out what
okay,
I want.
Why is this news?
I don't know. I mean, like, maybe because we didn't know. Okay, here's the real bit of news. The all important part. He also talked about Avengers Infinity War saying, you know, and this is talking about how the Guardians will tie into it. He said, you know, listen, I don't think we should overstate things. That is an Avengers movie, but the Guardians are a part.
You're so cancer, dude.
The Guardians are a part of the cosmic universe, but they're a part of Thanos' story. So they are in there, and they have not the biggest, but an integral part to that. Okay. Here you go. Enjoy some DC news now, guys.
Oh, dude, I can't wait.
I think I get to read the very long one.
Good.
About all the bullshit that they put us through.
Batman, release date, and filming likely pushed back.
What?
Looks like
no
another
way.
Setback for the DC Extended Universe. As Warner Brothers.
You've lost all credibility.
Upcoming solo movie, The Batman, is likely to be delayed. Shocking. According to Variety, Justin Kroll, recently hired director Matt Reeves and contracted by 20th Century Fox through June to complete work in a promotion on the summer's War for the Planet of the Apes, which will put back Batman's release date and filming schedule back a ways while word was shooting and would begin later this year. It looks like cameras won't roll till 2018. All right, I'm sorry. I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. Whatever, dude. Don't laugh. Don't make any... die. Fuck off then.
I didn't say anything.
All right, dude. I thought I was being fucking hilarious.
You were trying to be the Ira Fredo. Our NPR guys. Hi, guys. Yeah, this dude is NPR.
Yes. While it's not unheard for a director to prep another big tentpole.
He's prepping a big tentpole.
Tentpole while fishing up another... DC Films has brought has had enough problems in the past without rushing film. Through scripting phases, both the studios and fan community are putting a lot of chips on the Batman, being both a sure thing and something of a creative refresh for the character after much maligned. Batman vs. Superman, and in many ways, the film will be even more important, all involved in Zack Snyder's upcoming Justice League. According to Entertainment Weekly, Affleck's alcohol treatment has not affected his role in the Batman, which is slated to star in, despite rumors to the contrary. See, why do they say all this extra stuff? Like, they say extra words to make themselves seem smart, but you're just saying fucking words, and I don't appreciate it, because I gotta read this.
You want me to keep? You want me to just
no,
read the rest?
No, I will finish this. It is important to note that the film has yet to receive a proper green light from the studios, and the Batman Ben Affleck will face off against a little hero against Joe Magliani, who is played Slade Wilson, aka Deathstroke in the film. Additional appearance by Jeremy Irons as Alfred and J.K. Simmons as
Alfred.
J.K. Simmons and Commissioner Gordon are expected to have it as well. Okay.
All right.
You're going to read the rest of these articles. I hope you know that.
All right, I'll read them. I'm done reading. Okay. More DC news. Aquaman release date pushed back 2 months.
Okay. Sick. Let's move on.
Hold on, because look at
what is there to talk about? It was pushed back 2 months.
Because like this was announced after the or before the Venom thing. So now maybe they knew Venom was going to be released in October. So they're like, oh no, we can't compete against Venom.
Pretty sad when a mainstay DC character movie can't even compare to a villain movie.
Yeah. Deathstroke actor Joe Manganiello wants fans to root for Batman bad guy. The RI magazine has interviewed the Batman actor Joe Manganiello about his role in Warner Brothers' upcoming DC Extended Universe solo movie. He thinks fans will be pretty psyched about the character, who will be unlike his portrayals on TV shows like Lois and Clark, Smallville, and Arrow. Magniello said, "Yeah, I guess there was a TV show, but I haven't seen it. I won't watch it. This is my character, an exciting one, and has the capacity, I think, to be a great villain. And what all the great ones can do is polarize an audience. When I was a kid, I always rooted for the villain. As a kid, I think I would have rooted for him, and I think fans will." As for persistent rumors that the script is in disarray and that even Ben Affleck is considering stepping down from the title role, the actor says these reports have been overblown by the media. It's funny how the media likes to run with, oh, there's trouble. Like, oh, the script needs to be revised. They're drama queens, opined Manganiello. There's a creative process and everyone on the cast and crew wants to make it the best movie possible, so that's what we're gonna do. When we start shooting it, it will be soon. I can say that. Here's the thing, right? No one wants to create that superhero movie that's polarizing to fans and critics. Rest assured, we're gonna do this thing right. So he also said, Ben Affleck makes great films and he's a great Batman. Geoff Johns certainly is a really fun guy to hang around with and has a great grasp on the steering wheel that is the Titanic of the DCEU.
Yeah.
Knowing what they have planned for the future, I think fans are really going to love. All right. Thanks, mate. Oh, yeah, I have to keep reading.
I hate you. I hate you, Joe. I hate you. I hate you.
Me?
No, I hate Joe.
Or do you hate me being Joe?
A little of both.
Okay.
No, I hate him.
You really do hate him? Like,
I've never heard
such ridiculousness from an
like,
actor.
I thought I've heard it all when I listened to Donald Trump.
But this guy who says, oh, I love Deathstroke. I just won't watch or read anything he's in. I think he's great. Okay, so here's the really long article that I'm going to read for you right now. DC Films is looking to shoot one more film in 2017 to fill the Batman void. This comes after the news that all these movies are being pushed back. So here are five of the films that might take its place: The Flash, Green Lantern Corps, Gotham City Sirens, Suicide Squad 2, or Dark Universe. Therein lies the rub. All these films are either in very early development or in a state of disarray. The Batman was originally pushed forward from a 2019 to 2018 release date after The Flash lost director Rick Famuyiwa over creative differences. But then Ben Affleck dropped out as Batman director as well. The core cast of The Flash is already in place, with Ezra Miller reprising his role as Barry Allen, Billy Crudup as his father Henry Allen. Okay, we've gone over all of this stuff before.
Let's keep going. Find something that we haven't.
Yeah. Really Green Lantern Corps, which had hired. Blah, blah. Gotham City Sirens, David Ayers, Suicide Squad spinoff starring the lovely lady villains of Gotham, led by Margot Robbie. We've talked about all this stuff before. They're just talking about how none of these people can adequately portray these people. Finally, long in development, Dark Universe, aka Justice League Dark. The project was previously, we talked about all that as well. With all that said, Kroll notes that DC Films could wisely decide none of these films are ready to go and make 2018 a breather year with only one movie, as Marvel Studios did in 2012 when they canceled production on Runaways and only released The Avengers. All right, guys, are you satisfied now? Oh, I'm supposed to continue reading, huh? Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll say it because, you know, I can basically just read the headline and, right?
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones dragons are going to be the size of 747s in season 7. All right, good talk.
Yeah, and we know that season 7 is coming out soon. They have a date. I forgot what the date was. But, yeah, it's in July. And Maisie Williams said, just finished reading season 7. Shit gets real. I start preparing yourselves now. Scratch that. Nothing will prepare you for this. Holy balls. All right. Some just random other news. Riverdale has been renewed for a second season.
No
Yay.
Surprise there. Wait. I want to talk about that for a second. How good is Riverdale? It's absurdly good. I'll tell you. I don't need your opinion, Christian, because I'll let the viewers know how good Riverdale is. If you guys have not watched Riverdale, Riverdale is a comic-based TV show based off of Archie Comics. You know, one of the original gangsters in comics. So... Yeah, it's absurdly good. It's, like, ridiculously good. And, yeah, you guys need to... If you guys have not watched it, watch it.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. It's really good.
There were some set photos from the Inhuman set that are being slowly released. From it, we get to see Crystal. You know, she has her classic hair. Medusa, we saw from the back with her long red hair and a purple gown. She looked great from the back.
Bet she did.
Todd McFarlane talks about the making of a Spawn reboot that's going to be very dark. He said it's going to be a very R-rated reboot, pretty much twice as dark and violent as a Deadpool or Logan.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Sounds really good.
That, I would pay top dollar to see that.
Yeah, and then there was an American Gods trailer, because that show's coming out, and a new Wonder Woman trailer, which we're not going to talk about. I'm just telling you they're out there.
Sick. I'm so glad we're up with this news.
I told you we could have split it up.
Gosh, I don't know. Maybe it's just because like I feel like fatigued from reading. Like, I'd rather just talk and not have to read stuff. But yes, like, have you ever had to read to somebody for, like, 6 hours straight?
No, but...
It's very tiring. Let me tell you
I can tell
it.
That you don't really want to talk either, because you just keep being like, oh, yeah, dude, who fucking cares?
Who fucking cares?
Whatever,
dude.
Well,
whatever.
Let's stop cackling. All right?
Come on.
We're going to talk about shows now. We're going to start with Supergirl. We'll be right back.
Season 2, Episode 15, Exodus. Alex and Kara realize they must break the rules to foil Cadmus' latest plot.
Okay, yeah, that's not really true, but yeah. Very good episode.
It was a very good episode.
All right, moving on. No.
I was just thinking about what we were laughing about last night. And okay. You pointed out to me what it was about.
Yeah, so Scott started watching the rest of Supergirl last night, and I just started uncontrollably laughing. And he was just like, "Why are you laughing about her?" And like, it was, all right. So the scene in this episode where Supergirl's like pushing the plane or trying to like push the spaceship back down, which like it's the music and everything is so dramatic, but like it just looks like she's doing nothing. Like, yeah, she's like just literally like pushing as hard as she can in her mind, but like not actually pushing. Yeah. And I just imagine like while she's pushing, she goes,
and, just fucking
and Alex is like, "What was that?"
His mic, was that to you?
Yeah, and for some reason that makes me laugh. I'm immature when it comes to farting, okay?
Yes.
We
know.
This episode, to me, seemed like it had a political vibe to it.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, but...
I don't know if that was intentional.
I don't feel like it was as good as, like, the recent episodes.
Perhaps not. I mean, if you want to grade it now and then talk about it, because I feel like maybe that would put that out of the way, you know, like...
Sure, grade it.
Yeah, I think it's like an 8.6
episode. I would give it like a 7.8.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. That's pretty fascinating.
I thought it was pretty good or whatever, but it was not really on par with what they've been doing as of late.
Yeah.
I feel like the next week's episode is... you know, set up to be far more interesting than what this was. I was pretty bored. I don't know.
Yeah, I found this episode to be wildly enjoyable for the most part. I don't know. I don't really like Alex anymore. I just feel like she overacts everything. But like, yeah. Like I think like her actions in this episode were like good, like
justifiable.
What she did was like, you know, a good thing to do, and like I liked like her toward the end of the episode or whatever. You had mentioned that you'd like to have just seen her fly into space and never come back.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah, the cops, like, arresting, like, the aliens, so that was pretty brutal. Like, watching that, yeah. Like, at the beginning.
I was like, yeah, it's just like the Mexicans getting deported in the
exactly,
US
that's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. It's very political. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it seems like
probably was. Probably was.
I liked Mon-El a lot in this episode.
I did, even though we really didn't get a lot of him.
Yeah, but he was very supportive of Kara. It didn't matter because she ended up getting fired.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, what?
I didn't understand why she got fired. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I understood it. I just think it was a mistake. But, yeah. Kara Mon-El.
Stupid.
Kara Mon-El are super cute together.
Yeah.
But it's all gonna be shaken up next week. We're gonna be talking about divorce soon. So
put to the test already.
Yeah. And by the way, we were right.
Yeah.
About the Prince of Daxum thing.
Prince of Daxum. Pretty sure they listened to the show.
Yeah.
It's the only explanation that we consistently predict everything correctly,
so,
and then it just happens.
So do we think that those people are his parents?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
So Hercules is his dad.
Hercules.
All right, yeah. So Scott gave it a 7.8. I gave it an 8.6. I enjoyed it quite more than you did.
Well, what'd you think about like Wynn and his girlfriend?
I like them for the most part. I think it's getting weird now. Like, just like they're like I like.
Oh, what? You're not into the whole.
No, I like the character.
Alien.
I like the character. Like, I just think Wynn is like. Wynn is great for the most part, but like, you know, it's I don't know. I like Wynn and his girlfriend. I don't know, like, I don't know if they make a good couple.
Yeah. What is so funny?
Nothing, because I feel like you're going to be like, Dad, you're like inner species fucking?
Yeah, I mean.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It does, yeah.
Sounds hot. I'll do it.
Who wouldn't?
All right, moving on, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, let's talk about the Flash now. All right, The Flash, Season 3, Episode 15, The Wrath of Savitar. While training with Barry, Wally starts to have visions of Savitar, which he hides from the team. A dangerous secret threatens Barry and Iris's happiness.
Sick one. What'd you think, pal?
The Flash has found its form again.
In rare form.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is great. This episode was great. There's like only slight things I had issues with, I guess. But yeah, I mean,
no, this episode was probably their best that they've done in a while. Not to say any of the ones were like bad. It always felt like there was like something missing out of it, and this like episode picked it all up.
Oh yeah, this episode brought that scale of epicness to it. So we got Wally, you know, just getting fast, getting real fast, hallucinating and shit. Typical Wally. So Cisco was meant to be the best man of the wedding, except for the fact that now the wedding's not happening.
Yeah, how depressing.
It's greatly upsetting. And that's all because Wally's a little bitch. What are you doing?
I am Mighty T-Rex.
We're not on that episode yet.
That's all I was thinking about. Anyways. Yes. Yeah. Dude, Wally's a little fucking bitch, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go tell my sissy.
Yeah, and like...
You little pansy bitch.
That's not really why Barry proposed, is it?
Yeah, it is, actually.
But he
literally tells her in the episode, yes.
Yeah, I know, but like, I didn't like that. I thought that was like a cop-out. Like, he did it because he loves her, you know?
No, he didn't. He literally said...
I know, but I didn't like that.
Just because you didn't like it doesn't mean those weren't his actual motivations.
I didn't like that decision
you
by the writers.
You need to reword what you're saying. You need to say... that this is how I would have done it.
Yeah.
Not saying like, no, that wasn't his real thing, because it obviously was.
Well,
in
yeah,
the episode,
it
they
was,
obviously
but
said, this is my motivation.
It shouldn't have been.
There
but
you
we
go.
Know, we know Barry loves her, you know, like.
All words matter, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, right, it's like, I don't believe that Barry did that. Like, I don't really believe Barry did it because he was trying to change the future, like, or that was his sole motivation.
It was.
You believe you, but besides
no,
what he said,
I'm not saying that he wouldn't be ready to marry her now, but I don't think he would have if it wasn't in the circumstances.
Yeah, but he does love her, right? All right. Anyway,
No, keep going.
Why are you doing the T-Rex arms? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's just funny. Okay?
So, Savitar talking through Julian is terrifying.
Dude, right? That was like... That was... How good was Julian?
Right? Like...
Robot.
Okay, so... What do you think of Cisco vibing Wally to the future?
What do you mean?
He was like, meh, 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 meh. Let's go. Okay. What do you think of it?
That's fine.
I don't give a shit, okay?
What? Like, did you have a problem with it? Do you think it was a mistake?
No, I mean, no, I just, I, you know, it's like.
All I'm saying is Wally got what he got going to him.
So, yeah, Wally took Savitar's place in the Speed Force.
Oh, he got ripped apart.
In a very iconic way.
He was like.
Yeah, that was like classic comic book, straight out of a comic book, dude. That was fucking epic as shit and
dude,
shit.
It really was. Like, I just love The Flash for its like repeated commitment to recreate these like iconic moments throughout like comic book history.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's so great. And like the way they pull it off is just like phenomenal. Like, it's phenomenal.
And how great is Grant Gustin still?
I mean, kid he's pretty not... fucking good, dude.
Savitar stabbed The Flash, dude.
He's like, bah!
Oh, that was sad. Iris took off her ring. This is all very unfortunate, but this episode, visually and story-wise, is a 9.8 from me.
9.8. Sick. Moving on.
Last show of the week. Now.
We'll be right back.
Episode 13, Land of the Lost. Legends are left 70 million years in the past when Rip causes the Wave Rider to crash after his capture.
Word.
His attempted escape was so, anticlimactic. They try to make it, seem, epic. He started the self-destruct sequence. And then they just powered the ship down and it didn't work. And all of a sudden, for some reason, that made it to where he was unconscious. For that long because Mick punched him.
You didn't believe any of it. You were just like, why is this happening? Why are you so shit at writing stories?
What do you think about this episode?
I thought for the most part the episode was meh, but the end with Rip coming back was good.
Was primo sauce.
I liked seeing Rip back, but they tried to fuck with your mind. They weren't playing fair with the audience. When they came back out, he was like, "Where am I?" And then they're like, "You're home," and he's like, "Hehehe." You're like, "Oh, he's still evil." and then he's not. Just "Well, what the fuck was all that about?"
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I felt like there's two different stories going on yet again for the thing. There's Jurassic World kind of thing, and then there's, inside Rip's mind.
Yeah, A plot, B plot.
I actually preferred the
dinosaur
stuff.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about before, we started podcasting about how they've kind of rewritten Ray Palmer to this new kind of just dorky, weird, comic relief kind of guy.
I enjoy it though.
Yeah, I'm coming around to it. Initially I didn't like it because I'm just this isn't really Ray Palmer. He doesn't act like this usually, But that's where they're kind of going.
Changed, bro.
That's the direction that the writers want to go with him to differentiate how he was on Arrow and bring him into this new show and whatever. But I liked his talk with Nate about Amaya. What'd you think of that?
It was all right.
Gideon was hot.
Right. That's a separate point, though. I don't know. Do you think it was really Ray's place to say something?
I think it needed to be said, and Ray was the only one who knows Amaya's granddaughter. So
who is she?
Vixen, who was on Arrow.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's cray cray.
Yeah, that's cray cray.
That cray cray.
Mick Rory is the voice of reason. Ever the voice of reason. I love that guy. I like that Rip's back, and Thon is going to fuck Nate's granddaddy.
What is happening? I'm done with this podcast
I liked the Bizarro versions of them. Did you like the Bizarro versions of them?
No, it was lame, dude. It was they were trying to do something cool, but it wasn't really all that cool.
All right.
And I was just whatever, dude. I'm going to give it a grade. It was a 6.5.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, dude. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
You know what? For that, it gets a 5.
Are you amending your...
No,
okay.
No. 6.5. It was on the verge of pretty much below average.
All right, so your favorite game, winners and losers?
Flash,
Legends. Avi winner. Legends, Avi loser. So...
I mean, it wasn't that far apart, though. No, actually, Supergirl was much better than Legend. I don't know, man. It's hard to say, but I guess I'll just go with Legends.
So that's it for this podcast. We're going to have another podcast with... I'm assuming just the shows because we talked about all the news already.
Duh.
So we'll be talking about The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow from this past week instead of 2 weeks ago like this was. And you'll enjoy that on a separate podcast. And also Iron Fist came out this week, so we'll be very busy individuals. And for most likely, Scott will just play Overwatch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's probably a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. See you guys. Follow us on social media.
That's everything. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
I'm Nerdy Boy Scott. See ya.
One more message for you. Stay nerdy, boys.
Fuckers.